The reading from Scripture this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and it's verses 1 through 12. All right. Thus says the Word. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches of Macedonia. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For as I can testify, they voluntarily gave according to their means and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints. And this not merely as we expected, they gave themselves first to the Lord and by the will of God to us, so that we might urge Titus that as he had already made a beginning, so he should also complete this generous undertaking among you. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter, I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you to begin, who began last year, not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish it. Finish doing it so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Powerful word indeed. Would you pray with me again? Loving and blessed God, we pray, O Lord, for your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. Lord, we are seeking your guidance, for we want to do, O Lord, things according to your will. Speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. Speak to all of us, for we want to understand, O God, what your will for our lives is. So, my Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, open our hearts, our minds, and our understanding to you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Would you repeat with me? I give my resources to fulfill God's purposes. Let's read that again. Let's repeat together. I give my resources to fulfill God's purposes. Amen. Amen. You know, as we have been saying for the past few weeks, we have been engaging in this wonderful study as it relates to our faith. The first section of the study addressed the issues having to do with our beliefs, some of our doctrinal statements. Who is God? What is the Trinity? Who is Jesus Christ? What is salvation? And so on. And in the second section, which is the section we're in at this time, we have been talking about spiritual disciplines, things that lead us to God, disciplines that lead us to connect with God. Amen? And we talked about the fact that when we talk about disciplines, it means that there is some things we have to do and some things we have to let go, right? Because when we get into disciplines, if we are disciplined about doing something, about reaching something that we want to achieve, it means that we get very discipline, right? And I mean, I'm sorry for the repetition of that and for the redundance, but I guess it's important to realize that when we talk about disciplines, it also means that we establish some ways of being and some ways of doing things And we talked about this before. We talked about the fact that when we talk about engaging in some kind of discipline, whether you are doing sports or you're playing an instrument, it requires discipline. Amen? So it's not something that we just do on the fluke. It's not something we just do on a whim. It's something that requires effort. If we want to be good at what we do, if we want to be good about sports, if we want to be good about anything we want to accomplish in life, unless you are a genius, amen? And I'm not going to ask how many geniuses we have here, but I am not one. So I require to do things in practice and be disciplined. So we talk about those disciplines, and so within that context, we talk about the idea of the discipline of worship. Now, for some people, of course, it's like, well, what does that mean? You know, we just come to worship, right? Well, yeah, but it's also a discipline. It's a discipline about coming to present oneself to God. It's a discipline to make time in our daily life, in our daily routines, to come before God, to offer ourselves to God in worship. And listen to that, because it's interesting how we talk about this, and we mentioned this before. I just want to rehash a little bit some of the things we have mentioned before. For when we talk about worshiping God, we usually think about coming to church and receiving something, right? Coming to church and getting something. But worship is about us giving. There is where the discipline lies. It's about us coming to church to give of ourselves. We come to present ourselves to God in worship. So when we come to worship, we come to sing, we come to pray, we come to praise God, we come to study together and learn about the Word of God together. So worship, even though for most of us it just happens to be something we do on Sunday morning, is actually something deeper that requires our discipline, our dedication. And so it's also with prayer. And so it's also with Bible study. And so it's also with studying the Bible in community. It's always with so many other things we have been talking about. Last week we talked about giving of our time. Amen? And the importance of that. Well, that is a discipline. Again, become something we do but we have to discipline ourselves to be able to offer of my time. Today, as we come to this point, this is a time in which we talk about giving of our resources. Now, as you can imagine, the theme from last week and this week, and it's interesting that the folks who created this this resource did not put this in the context that I'm going to share with you today. But for me, as we talk about giving of our time or giving of my time and giving of my resources, it's all about stewardship. Amen? I mean, you probably saw that before I even said it, because it's part of that reality, right? So a stewardship is also a discipline. It's not something we simply talk about, oh, yeah, this is about giving money. As we have said here again and again, no, stewardship is not about giving money. That is just one aspect of stewardship. For stewardship is about our dedication, our complete and entire dedication to God, giving everything we have and everything we are, presenting all that to God. So we give our time to God because we know it's God's time. Amen? And we give of our resources to God, for we know that our resources are also a gift from God. Amen? So when we come to this point, we hear in this passage from 2 Corinthians where the apostle is talking to the church about an offering. Now you might be thinking that, well, it doesn't say anything about an offering, but in verse 4, it says, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in the ministry to the saints. Now, that's a wonderful phrase, a wonderful way to say that there is a collection that is going to the saints in Jerusalem, and you are privileged to give to that wonderful effort. Right? This is like when we do here collection for specific or special things, you know, be it for the shelter, be it for AMCOR or whatever. In this case, you have the church in Jerusalem was having difficulties. The people of the church in Jerusalem were having many difficulties. There was a lot of hunger. There was poverty, and the church was in a little bit of a trouble at the time. And so Paul had been going around to the churches outside of Jerusalem asking for support, asking for help. On the one hand, not only for the purpose of helping the church, but also to show to the church in Jerusalem, remember, this is a very Jewish community, right, in Jerusalem, and there were some issues between the churches in Jerusalem and those outside of Jerusalem. So you have, of course, the Gentile churches, which is what Paul has been ministering to, and then you also have the Jewish community that is already very much center into what they believe in terms of their relationship with God. So there have been some tension already taking place between the Jews and the Gentiles by this time. And so some of the, and you read that in the stories in the letters of Paul, when you hear about some of the Judaizers who come to the churches and try to move them from the acceptance of Jesus and grace to the acceptance of Jesus, but keeping the law, right? So there was a little bit of tension already in this time that Paul is living. And so Paul is trying to help the church in Jerusalem understand that the Christians outside of Jerusalem, the Christians outside of Judaism, actually were Christians, actually were brothers and sisters in the faith, were part of the promise of God. So they were part of the family of God. So Paul is trying to show that, share that, help the folks in Jerusalem grasp that clearly by one wonderful effort, by helping the churches outside of Jerusalem to provide aid to the people in Jerusalem, to the church in Jerusalem, to show them the love of the people beyond Jerusalem. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing, right? So you have that the people outside are being called by the apostle to lend a hand, to support and help the churches and the church in Jerusalem at this time of great need. And it must have been a great need, for we hear in the historical record that there were many challenges in Jerusalem at this time when Paul is writing this letter. And so Paul, realizing that and hearing from the people in Jerusalem about their need, then comes with this wonderful idea. And it's interesting because in this passage we read, we understand that this is a promise or a pledge that has been made a year ahead. Something happened in the process where the church in Corinth had not been keeping their promise, right? Something happened that things are not moving the way that Paul is understanding things should be moving. And so Paul, in this letter, includes the statement about, hey, let's get things together. Let's get things together. I'm coming by to collect the offering, and I would like to have an offering from you. And then Paul, of course, in a very nice way, tells us, now as you excel in everything, listen to that. This is verse 7, right? Verse 7, now as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in your love for us, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. So Paul calling to the people in Corinth who have received so much, so much. But I need you to, now that you hear that, I mean, Paul understands these folks have gotten a lot. They receive a lot. They're blessed in so many ways. But hear how he starts the conversation. And this is an important part of this passage in our study today or our sermon today. For you see, he starts this by telling the church in Corinth about the churches in Macedonia. And he says, the churches in Macedonia even though they have gone through a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. So even though they're poor, even though they have been going through hard times, these folks have been willing to give generously. So Paul is presenting already the churches that he's been working with in Macedonia and comes now to the church in Corinth and says to the church in Corinth, well, you know, you have received a whole lot more and you have a whole lot more. So why don't you give more? Why don't you give more? And so his appeal comes, even sending Titus and say, I'm sending Titus to you so that Titus will start working with the collection so that when I get there and I bring the folks from Macedonia, I don't get sidetracked here and I don't get shamed. Shame because you're not giving enough for this cause, especially when you have so much. So Paul did that. But Paul also taught the church and teaches us today what is part of the lesson for today. At the end of the passage, we read again, now finish doing it, meaning the collection, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. An important part of this, of course, is that when we give from our means. Not what is left over, for God is not pleased with that leftovers. I mean, I know sometimes we think that it's okay when we give our leftovers to whoever, but for some reason, God doesn't like leftovers. I mean, I like leftovers. I do that all the time. Even yesterday, I just had my, you know, leftovers at home. I love leftovers. But God, for one reason or another, God doesn't seem to like leftovers. God wants the best, our first fruits, the best things we have to give. That's what God wants from us. And so he tells here, Paul telling the church in Corinth, so do this according to your means. Give according to your means. Give to this collection according to your means. Not beyond your means. Not just, don't go into debt so that you can give to God, because that's not the purpose. It's about giving from your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable to what one has. Not according to what one does not have. So if you give from your heart and you give to God what is in your heart, what is best from you, the gift is acceptable to God. For it is not how big the gift is. It is the intention of the heart that matters the most to God. How do I give from my heart the best that I have to God? It was interesting that I heard of a story, and I thought it would be good to share with you today. This was a story about Henry Ford. Henry Ford was asked to donate money for a construction of a hospital facility, and he was a millionaire, or some people may consider a billionaire at the time, and so he donated $5,000, and in those days that would be considered to be a lot of money. But given that he had a lot more, the folks from the hospital sent a note to the newspaper saying that Henry Ford contributes $50,000 to the local hospital. Ford, irate, was on the phone immediately. You can imagine. I can see some folks here doing the same thing, to complain to the fundraiser that he had been misunderstood. The fundraiser replied that they would print a retraction in the paper the following day, and it will read, Henry Ford reduces his donation by $45,000. Realizing that the poor publicity that would result, the industrialist agreed to the $50,000 contribution. In return for the following, he said he had some requirements. That above the entrance to the hospital was to be carved the biblical inscription, "I came among you and you took me in." Sometimes we feel like that, right? Sometimes we feel like we have been taken to the cleaners, as the new expression goes today. But this is all about us giving our best. God and our commitments. Are we committed to give to God our best? Paul is asking the church in Corinth to give their best. Not a whole lot. It's not about how much. Again, it's not about how much. Even though he believes that they have a whole lot to give. But he's asking them to give their best. In the readings in the study for today and believe, that's what the emphasis is all about. It's about us coming together to give our best to God, to use God's resources for God's glory. For as we said when we were repeating earlier, that we will be putting our resources to fulfill God's purposes. Amen? That is what the heart of stewardship is all about. Giving God our best, giving God just the best we have, so that God's purposes may be fulfilled. So remember, it's not simply about money. That's not what this is all about. Stewardship is a presentation of our lives, is how we dedicate ourselves, our lives, completely and entirely to God. Giving come as a consequence of that. And how much we give comes as a result of that. St. Thomas Aquinas had an interesting saying. He used to say, "Where your pleasure is, there is your treasure. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. Where your heart is, there is your happiness." Are you happy in God? Is your heart dedicated completely to God? Would you pray with me? As JL comes back and help us to move forward in the day, let us pray. Loving and blessed God, we give you thanks again for your mercy. We give you thanks, O God, for we want to dedicate our lives completely to you, Lord. We want to give you our best. We want to give you our best, O Lord, in all the things we have and all the things we possess. We want to give you our time. We want to give you, Lord, our lives. And we want to dedicate our lives completely to your service, Lord. So come, O God, come to us, O Lord, and receive from us our offering. An offering of joy, an offering of repentance, an offering of life. For we want to give you this day our entire lives. So loving God, here is our offering to you, O Lord. As your stewards, we present everything to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.